I extend Christian greetings to each one gathered here this morning. I'm amazed how the Spirit of the Lord moves sometimes. As we went through the Sunday school hour, you know, I read that lesson earlier in the week. And then I was pondering, what do I share? Because I got the message that Brother Jim wasn't going to be here. What do I share? What does the Spirit have for me to share on? And so there, in my mind, there was no connection between what I chose for a message this morning and what was in the Sunday school hour. But I believe there is a connection sometimes when, as I pondered and we went through the Sunday school hour and I listened, there can be a connection there. Maybe you'll find it as we go through the message here this morning. You can turn in your Bibles for a message to Matthew chapter 7. Now, if you remember that Nelson, I believe it was one of the last messages he preached, was taken from much the same story as we find in the end of Matthew chapter 7. And we got the wise men and the foolish men. They're building houses. But that's not where I'm going to take the message this morning. My mind was drawn to this. Verse 29 is where my mind went. And I'd like to just think about this morning. I'm going to read verse 28 and 29. Matthew chapter 7, verse 28. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the sayings on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew does a very good job of putting them in detail. He gets everything on the Sermon on the Mount all tied together here. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. I entitled the message this morning, Jesus Taught with Authority. Jesus Taught with Authority. I don't know where your mind goes to as you think of that for a title. But authority is something today that people don't want in their life. They don't want anybody to tell them what to do. It's going to be my way. I don't want to hear what you have to say about it. What is authority? If you look that word up, that was translated there, translates over the lawful right to enforce obedience or power. Jesus taught with power and with authority. Put that in his teaching on the Sermon on the Mount there. As I stand up here, as Brother Delbert's going to stand up here next Sunday, we can only stand on the authority of the Scripture. We only preach and we only teach what the authority of the Scripture is. Here's this man, Jesus, on that mountain, teaching the people, and he taught with authority. He had power. It wasn't coming out of the truth of the Scripture. Yes, he may be tied back into it. But he had his authority from someone else. The authority came from God. And he taught it in such a way these people looked on. And they realized that he was teaching and he was preaching to them in such a way that there was no way to go around it, no way to change it. It was authority, it was power. There was no way to get around it. There was no changing it. It was a foundational principle that he was bringing. So as I think about this, Jesus taught with authority because he is authority. He has the authority. He don't have to go to the Scripture because he is the Son of God. Go back in Matthew chapter 1 and it'll go. Well, let's read Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. We know these foundational principles, but But let's just grasp this out of here. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. And while he thought on these things, this is Joseph. He was thinking about putting Mary away because she was found with child. In verse 18, we find that she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. And here's the verse I want to take out of it. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Foundational principle. He is the Son of God. He is a part of the Trinity. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. He taught with authority because He is the Son of God. God who created the universe. God who created everything there in Genesis chapter 1. Jesus was there too. See, He's part of that Trinity. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It was all tied together. In the beginning, at the creation, was the Word, which is Jesus. He was there. And He came to this earth. And He was preaching here on the Sermon on the Mount. And He came to that point, and He preached with authority. The people didn't understand it. Where is this coming from? He has Jesus taught with authority because He is the authority and He was the authority. And He still is today. A few more things as we think of the authority of Jesus, as He taught with authority. And then we're going to jump into that, into the Sermon on the Mount. And we don't want to do injustice to it by hurrying through the Sermon on the Mount. So we're going to go as far as we can this morning and look at what He taught with authority. And what it means for us today, some of that. But let's just think a little more. Jesus, as He taught with authority and He is authority, what else is there? Let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. Or excuse me, Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. We could go to many scriptures, and I thought about doing it, but look it up sometime. Think about, go look at how these people view Jesus' teaching, and a lot of times they say He taught with authority or He had authority. Just and He brings in that He, not as the scribes. We're going to look at that, not as the scribes, in just a little bit. But looking at the authority of Jesus, what all He has. Mark chapter 1, verse 27. He had just healed someone with an unclean spirit, and He cast it out of him. In verse 27, when they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority He commandeth. For with authority commandeth He even the unclean spirits, and they do obey Him. The unclean spirits that was in that man, He is more powerful than the unclean spirits. He is more powerful, and His authority goes beyond what Satan has. We're thankful for that. Later on in the message, I believe we're going to end at Matthew chapter 28, and we think of the Great Commission there. All power is given unto Him. Jesus is saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He is all powerful. He's more powerful than the unclean spirits. He's more powerful than Satan today. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go on. John chapter 5. And I thought about leaving this in for the end, but it's coming in right now. We're just going to go into it in this point. As we think about Jesus, He is the authority, and He taught with the authority that was given Him. Verse 27, John chapter 5, verse 27. I should have wrote down where I wanted to start and stop there, but verse 27 is what I really want. Let's start reading at verse 24. I think it's a good place to start in there. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Jesus is speaking here, and he's saying, God gave me this power that I'm going to execute the judgment. Why? Because he's the Son of Man. He knows what it is like to live here on this earth. And he has gone through a life here on this earth victorious. He went to the grave victorious, and he was even victorious over that. He has the authority and power. He knows the struggles that come. He knows everything. He was tempted in all points such as we are, yet without sin. Yet without sin. Jesus has the authority. He is the authority. And he will execute judgment. When Jesus executes judgment, you know, as humans today, if we start pointing at someone, we always say that there's more fingers start pointing back at yourself. Not so with Jesus. When he executes judgment, it's going to be all the fingers pointing at yourself. We go into back to the Sermon on the Mount. As we think about fingers pointing back at us, Matthew chapter 7 says this, "Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." Fingers pointing back at ourselves when we start looking at our brothers and sisters and start trying to judge them. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. We're going to read the first six verses. And just think about this, this context of the scripture as you think about Jesus being the one to execute judgment on the earth, and how today we dare not point fingers at others, and how when we stand before God, there will be no accusations pointing at Jesus because he paid it all. He did everything as necessary. Let's read Romans chapter 2, verse 1. "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art, thou judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them that commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them that do such thing, and doest the same thing, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds." We're going to cease reading there. Again, Jesus is going to... He has the authority to execute judgment. The only way that we can stand before Jesus and not have the guilt laid all on us is, what are you doing with your sin now? What are you doing with your sin now? He paid the price. He paid it all. Our sins can be sent on and be covered by the blood. May we do that. So that when we stand before Him at the and Jesus stands to execute judgment, we can have our sins. There's no accusations pointed to us. All right, now let's go into, before we go in through Matthew here and go look at the Sermon on the Mount, let's go look at this saying here. He's taught having authority and not as the scribes. Is there some significance with that? Jesus taught with authority, not as the scribes. What did the scribes teach like? Let's go look. One verse, one reference I have for that, and that's Matthew 23. Matthew chapter 23. Is there some significance of the way the scribes taught? Yes, there is. Yes, there is. And it's a very sobering thought, because we oftentimes can maybe fall into the rut of what the scribes do. In our American, in our Mennonite culture, can we say, in our Mennoniteism, we can fall into the same thing. Let's read Matthew chapter 23. And Jesus spake to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, all right? So he's talking to the multitude, the people that were there, and his disciples, and he's saying, verse 2, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. They're the leaders. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. Do what they're saying. Do what they're teaching you. Do it. But do not ye after their works, for they say and they do not. They look right on the outside. They sound right on the outside. But the heart's not right. They aren't doing it with their heart. Verse 4, we see what they do. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their palacopheres and enlarge the borders of their garments and love the utmost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues. And the greetings in the markets, and be called to men, Rabbi, Rabbi. Oh, we want everything to look right. We want everything to be right on the outside and what people see. And we want to be seen. That's what the scribes were saying. Not as the scribes. It must, brothers and sisters, it must go beyond words. It must go beyond what's on the outside. Not as the scribes. Jesus taught with authority, not as the scribes, because He lived out what He taught. As He was here on this earth, people could look at His life and realize what He was teaching and preaching was exactly what He did. What are we doing today? Are we like the scribes? Let's go to Matthew 28. I was going to save this till the end, but I think we're going to bring this in right now. Matthew chapter 28. We have a call. We have the authority given to us by Jesus as he look at this command to go. Let's read verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. What about us today? You know, we're to go to the world. Teach all nations. Go to anywhere. Preach the word. live it out in everyday life. Not as the scribes. We have the call, we have the authority to go teach, preach and teach to the world. But what are we doing with it? Are we bringing them to a saving faith? Are we bringing them to a conversion experience? Is their heart changed? Are they brought into the fold of God? Do they recognize the Father, God? Do they recognize the Son, Jesus Christ, and His provisions that were made there on Calvary? Do they realize the Holy Ghost that can indwell them? We have the authority to teach and preach to them and to baptize them. But verse 20 has this word in it, teaching them to observe. Not as the scribes. You know, the scribes looked right on the outside. What is people observing in your life? All things. Observe all things. Yes, the outside. What's on the outside shows should show what's in the heart, and I believe it does. But what's on the inside, that shows too. As parents, we recognize that sometimes. You know, our children can read through us pretty quick. Teaching them, helping brothers and sisters to be more than an outward form. Teaching them, helping them on through life. To observe, to watch for them. Am I my brother's keeper? You sure are. Live it out in your life. Be not as the scribes. Practice what you preach. Practice what your life is showing. And work it out in daily life. Jesus taught with authority. Now let's go back to this Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5. We know Jesus had authority. He had the authority to preach in this way. And there's much in this Sermon on the Mount. We could make many messages out of it. But I'm just going to go down through here and just look at your own life, and as you were, if put yourself in the place as you were sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to Him teach with authority. Listen to Him. Verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Oh, we long to be recognized. We long to be seen of men, as the scribes and the Pharisees did. Oh no, that's not what Jesus wants. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Do we long to be recognized? Or are we poor in spirit? Are we willing to be humble, be submissive? Verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Do we weep with those that weep? Do we comfort those that need comfort? Or is our heart hardened where it don't touch us? They're going to have to deal with it themselves. May we be ones that are out helping them. Verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Are we those that have the answer for everything? Are we meek and letting Christ work through us? Realize it's not us, but it's God. Verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. What is your hunger in life? Jesus is preaching, and I believe he knew the hearts of the people that were there. And they followed him great distances. Took many pains to make sure they could hear what he had to share. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Are you hungering and thirsting for righteousness? Verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. We all want the mercy of God. But how many times do we withhold mercy from those that are about us? We go through life like it don't care what they think, what they're feeling. No mercy to them. No, let's not be that way. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. How is your heart today? From the heart proceeds your thoughts. What is my thoughts? A pure in heart. Is your heart pure before God? Is it totally washed clean? There is nothing in your life you are hiding. Have your thoughts, or even your imaginations, are they clean? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. It is a must to see God. Have your thoughts and imaginations been washed in the blood? Are they pure? All right, let's go to verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You want to be a child of the God? Jesus said, right here it is. You just make peace with your... Be a peacemaker. You know, oftentimes today, it's so much easier to be a troublemaker. I don't want to reveal what happens sometimes in our home life, but I think most home lives are the same. In growing up, I remember very well that there's times in life where it was fun to pick a something on your siblings. You know, you do this and you can get this response. Sometimes I don't think we grow up. We grow up and we still like to do that. We're not the peacemakers we're called to be. Well, if I just push this button here on this person, and we just say it's a button, but it's not really, but we know what sometimes can irritate somebody, and we tend to want to do it. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Verse 10. Let's go to the next one. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. How do you stand for truth? Is your life totally in relation and in good standing with truth? I'm talking the truth of God's Word. Because that's where truth comes from. Would you be willing to die for it? Are you willing to take ridicule for it? Persecuted. Oh, we live in a land of ease. Are you willing to be persecuted for your stand with God. Let's jump to verse 16. There's many more that we could go in there, but I'd like to just jump on down to verse 16. You know, in verse 13, we're called to be the salt of the earth. And then verse 16 says this, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Question that we want to bring is, we think of Jesus teaching with authority. He's saying here, your life is to be a light to the world. It is to be something that the world can see. It should be that salt that brings conviction. It should be the light to guide them to get away from that conviction. What about the things I do? What about the things I say? What about the life I live? Is it a light to the world? Jesus calls us to that. He taught with authority. And He said, "You are the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men." Go to verse 20. His authority reached this way. "For I say unto you," He's talking about the law, and He says, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Jesus, with His authority to execute judgment, could say these words even when they're not in the Scripture. You know, we have to go to the Scripture and we can apply it to the truth of that to our lives today. But to these people, it was, they looked at the scribes and the Pharisees, and that was their religious system. Jesus, with authority, comes in and says, unless if you do better than them, unless if you don't get beyond where they're at, you're not going to make it to heaven. Jesus taught with authority. So the question for us today, as Jesus teaches with authority, is my righteousness today any different than the scribes and the Pharisees? Or am I in that rut where it's just the outside form and nothing with the heart? Our righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Verse 24, let's go to the next one. He changes it. "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill." And then He goes on. And he strengthens it. Verse 22, let's just break in there. "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother has aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift." It goes beyond the physical action of killing. When you start killing somebody's spirit, killing somebody by the words we speak, Jesus taught with authority. Are we reconciled to our brother? In other words, is the love relationship showing to our brother? He's saying, before you come to the altar and offer your prayer to God, make sure it's right. Is my heart right with my brother or my sister? Or are we blocking our prayer life there? let's go on. Verse 28. We're touched on this a little bit, and we could have maybe tied this in. As Jesus was talking to the people there, and he talks about, let's read verse 27. "Ye have heard that was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery." It was the act. It was the act of committing adultery. "But I say unto you," Jesus is teaching with authority, "I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." It goes beyond the action. It goes to where your thought life is. It goes to where your heart is. As Jesus taught with authority. You know, he looked at those people and he knew what was inside. He knew what was inside, and he knows today what's inside of us. Let's guard our thought life. Let's guard our heart, brothers and sisters. Let's guard our heart, brethren. Verse 32 is one that he... Going on to the next one. It's one that we are faced with on every side about us. As Jesus was teaching there, he was faced with it. But in verse 31, there was some, in the old law, there was some room made. Verse 31. "Ye have heard, it hath been said, Whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, save for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery." We must, brothers and sisters, we must not let any room for divorce and remarriage. Is your mind made up on that fact that when the times get tough in a marriage... Well, maybe you don't have those. I think every marriage has struggles because it's relationships. It's two working together. But we commit in our marriage vows for life. And marriage is for life. And Jesus was teaching that here. Jesus was teaching that here. He said it's for life. Don't commit adultery. No room for divorce and remarrying another. Because anyone that does that is committing adultery, and they will continue to commit adultery. And that's if they come back to what God would have for them. Let's go to verse 37 yet. And maybe we'll pick up the rest of these. I'm going to be running out of time here. Maybe we'll pick up... I'll maybe try to make this a two-part message a little bit. And pick up some of this on another message here in the future. I wasn't sure how long this was going to take. The clock is starting to say it's time to wind down. Let's read verse... Well, let's read verse 36. "Neither shalt thou swear." And he's talking about making oaths and swearing. Verse 36. "Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black." Can you change the color of your hair? Yes, we see people today that dye their hair. But no. You can change it for a little bit, but the hair is going to grow back in. The original color. You can't change the color of your hair other than dyeing it. But even then, it still grows back in the color it is. Verse 37, "But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil." What is your word like today? What do people view your word like? When you say something, is it good? There is no reason to question that brother's word because he's a Christian. When he says it, it'll happen. No reason to swear. No reason to go on and on to try to tell people that I'm telling you the truth now. What, you didn't before? You know, I have these thoughts sometimes when people have to go down those lines. We should today be known for the truth of Christ's teaching, and we tell the truth. It's there. I think we'll stop with that. Jesus taught with authority. Are you using the authority of His teaching to affect your life today? He taught with authority because He was authority. He created. He was there at the creation of the universe. He has more power than what Satan has. And he has the authority that is given to him to execute judgment at the end of life. Question I want to leave with us. What are we doing with the authority that He has given to us? He gave us the authority in that great commission. To go, teach, preach, baptize, live a life, help people along to glory. What are we doing with it? Has it first of all taken place in my life so that I can share it with others? Let us kneel for prayer.